We are honored. It's a Friday, which means we get to talk to Governor Ned Lamont. He joins us live on the phone right now. Governor, thanks for being with us. How are you today?
Hey, Melissa. Good morning, Tony.
It's good to have you here, sir. Always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. Governor, I've got to ask you a question because we've been talking about this all week, and it's kind of perplexing, if you ask me. Help me understand how camps can possibly open up if schools can't. Aren't they essentially the same risks, even though camps are outdoors?
I think that even though camps are outdoors is a big differentiator to me. I just thought the summer camps could open responsibly in early July. You're 90% more likely to get infected indoors than you are outdoors. The camps are overwhelmingly outdoors. It's a demographic that's least likely to suffer complications, although they can infect others. I appreciate that. And I just thought it was important. The camps are for recreation, but they're also for a little bit of education as we try and migrate people back towards a fall opening of our schools. So I thought it was different.
And one of the things, we were talking about this week, obviously, besides camps, businesses, was schools. That seemed to be one of the biggest themes for this week. One of the hardest things for teachers, of course, was turning lesson plans around in such a short amount of time, which you've addressed before, from in-person to online learning. Now, as teachers are using the summer to prep their curriculum for the fall and even the spring, should they be anticipating virtual learning, even though, as of right now, they'll probably go back to school in September, but we may see a wave come back in the fall?
I would prepare for both. Absolutely. I mean, right now, our reopen committees and made up of all the leading educators, superintendents, Miguel, and teachers, we're oriented towards classrooms. Maybe a little different. Maybe it'll be smaller. Maybe they will have to break into two different groups. We're figuring that out based upon what the infection rates look like later on this summer. But my hunch is, Melissa, education will be changed forever. It will be more of a hybrid. There will be more of a online component to what we're doing, not just the classroom. But, of course, nothing replaces a classroom experience.
We're speaking with Governor Ned Lamont. Governor, the goal is to open college campuses by September 1st. Of course, like Melissa said, a good chance we'll see a second wave of COVID-19 in the fall. If the semester does go virtual, will tuition payments change?
Right now, my understanding, every university or college is doing it their own way. I think they're pretty universal that room and board, if you're not rooming and boarding there, that would go away. But if you've registered to go to school and you are having all the online classes, you got the same teachers employed, you've got the same overhead, my hunch is that the tuition will stay the same.
And a Quinnipiac University poll showed that 7 out of 10 people don't feel comfortable going back to restaurants even if they reopen. Is there a way that you could secure people so that restaurants can start rebuilding their businesses? I'm worried about that a little bit.
Yeah, Melissa, same in Georgia. They opened, come on in. We thought it was going to be like the end of Prohibition. Everybody runs after their local bar. And that is not the case in Georgia, and I don't think it'll be the case in Connecticut. That's why we're being very cautious. We're starting with just outside dining. People say, Ned, would you go to an outdoor restaurant? And I said, I'll take a look. I'll see if they're following the protocols, if the waiters are wearing masks, if the tables look like they're 6 feet apart. If people are being cautious about reopening, I think I would go, yes. But I think it's going to take a matter of weeks before people feel more comfortable there, and that's not all bad.
All right, we continue our conversation with Governor Ned Lamont. We've got some listener questions here, Governor. Mary wrote in about executive orders for churches. There are obviously some churches that are smaller than others, but what's being decided on for in-person services? Will churches reopen, or is that a later phase?
Well, remember, we allowed all houses of worship to have no more than 50 people as long as they were properly socially distanced. And we strongly recommended that people over the age of 65 stay home or do remote church or be in your car. A lot of different, but there's some incredibly creative religious services going on. And we're taking a look at that, not for May 20th, but soon thereafter. Obviously, outdoor services are so much safer than indoor services for any age. But we're going to calibrate this. I was on the phone with all the religious leaders yesterday trying to find ways that people can get back to a worship service in a safe way.
Also getting questions this morning about the zoning regulations. I know you got questions about this yesterday. I was just looking to see if we had any update. We actually had Milford Mayor Ben Blake on. He said he was considering parking lots, sidewalks in order to get different restaurants to be able to have outdoor dining. But for alcohol, that kind of comes to my mind, for example. Does that get a pass since it's usually illegal to drink publicly? Or, you know, how are the zoning regulations going to work?
The zoning is really under local control, but we're working with the municipalities on that. I love the way Ben Blake is thinking about it. I'd like to see outdoor dining, give them a little space out in the parking lot, give them some space into the sidewalks. Maybe even a couple of the roads don't have to be open for automobile traffic. It would just bring our cities to life and do it in a very safe way. And we have said through an executive order, I guess it's coming out any day, that, yes, if you're part of a meal, you want to have a beverage, go for it.
Speaking with Governor Ned Lamont, a lot of our listeners in Bridgeport have been asking about the DMV opening. Any idea when that's going to happen?
As you know, right now, you know, Bongi has extended the period of time, you know, before you have to renew your license. And so we don't need to have people going into the DMV offices at this point. So my hunch is that's not going to be May 20th. Maybe it'll be in the second round. We find people some time just so they don't have to go into a line. Even though to DMV's credit, the lines went from being an hour down to 10 or 15 minutes. We made enormous progress on that. But it's still something we want to avoid for the near term.
What about teens who are trying to get their permits or licenses?
You know, it's funny. I just read an article about a driving school that awarded, 50 teens or whatever it was their licenses, and they never had to go into an automobile. So I wasn't quite sure how they did that. But my instinct is, you have to have your driving time. You'll have to wear the mask. You'll have to be appropriately done. Whether that's on May 20th or not, I've got to check with the team.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading an article, actually, Governor, and would love to get your input on this. In the Connecticut Post, they were talking about fall sports for high schools. And it's great that the CIAC commissioner does believe that they're going to be up and running at some point. But please correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong. But I just remember back in my day when I had to go be in a high school sport, I had to make sure that I had like a doctor's notice showing that I had all my vaccines up to date, or they wouldn't let me play, essentially. But because we don't have a vaccine for probably the deadliest virus of our time right now, how is this even an option for high school sports to have any kids play if we don't have a COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, let's see where we are later on this summer, first of all. Secondly, they are moving on vaccines very quickly, but not in time for fall sport. I think we know that. I'm wondering about just the general flu vaccine, because that's going to be in October, November, December. And, you know, right now we only have 50% of our people get the flu vaccine. And obviously there's a lot of confusion between the flu symptoms and the COVID symptoms. Do you think more people taking the flu vaccine would be really important? But you may remember, Melissa, just 3 months ago, our offices were jam-packed with people saying, you can't make me take a vaccine.
Yeah.
So we're trying to work that out.
Yeah, no, I know. I did not envy you. And I have to say, Tony and I are very open about the fact on the air that, you know, you got to get your vaccines. But, you know, I know you can't speak on that, but I don't see why it's even being debated. You got to get them.
I'll speak on it. You ought to get your vaccine.
There you go. Okay, great.
Everybody's vaccinated. Everybody's a lot safer. That's more important in this public health emergency. Mm-hmm. I think we're reminded of that. But we'll see where we are in the fall sports. I really hope that we can do that. Some of them are more socially distancing than others, but I'll let the experts decide that.
Yeah, and I know we have to let you go, Governor, but I had one last question for you and had to do with testing, because I was super encouraged re-listening to your press briefing this morning, putting it into a news package for our listeners. And we've been watching the hospitalizations. Great news, obviously. But I was really encouraged when you said that if you compare the tests that are being done to how many positive results we've gotten, we're about 17% down, which is incredible. The only thing I was worried about is I have a good friend, and I just asked Congressman Himes about this. I have a good friend of mine who believes she has COVID-19, but she had two false negative tests. So when she went to get a blood test done, her white blood cell count was astronomical. And her doctors essentially said, it's fighting something and everything's coming back negative. It's got to be COVID. Congressman Heim said that these tests are only about 80% accurate just because the swabs may not get enough DNA, whatever the case may be. My worry is if positive tests, even though we're decreasing, I'm just wondering how accurate it is to go by that number if some of our tests are coming back falsely results, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're right, Lewis. A false negative is dangerous, right? All of a sudden, you feel like you're free of COVID and you're really just not showing the symptoms yet, or at least the test is not picking them up. You're Typhoid Mary and out you go into the community. So we're very aware of that. The only thing I can tell you is Dr. Koh and our experts are saying, I think the tests are getting better. They're getting more accurate, realizing that in transport, from the testing site to the lab, sometimes there's some variables there. I think they're getting better at it, but even a test that's 80 or 90% accurate is a lot better than a test that's not accurate at all. And finally, in many cases, they're doing a second test on that negative a little bit later, and that gets the error rate way down.
True. And are we getting more antibody testing? I know we're upping it for diagnostics, but how are we doing with antibody testing?
I think we're doing really well. I think we've got four or five of our hospitals who are ramping up the antibody testing, which, as you know, shows whether or not you've been infected and what the antibody count is that suggests you may have some immunity. And even more important, the basic testing with the swab to make see whether or not you are infected is ramping up pretty big time. Actually, we have capacity now. You can go. You can get an appointment at the Abbott Lab drive-through test at will at this point. So one of my issues is not so much about swabs and reagents; it's about getting people to feel comfortable getting tested. It's the right thing to do for yourself, but also for your community, even if there is a small error rate.
Governor Lamont, we thank you so much for your time. We are so glad that you are in charge. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate it, Tony. Take care, Melissa.